again that you are able, and I'm able, and all of us able to come out again tonight, this being still the first day of the week, to worship God again and to serve God and to show reverence to God as we studied that wonderful lesson. At least I think it was wonderful this morning, dealing with John 4:24. I know what, brother, when I was preaching that lesson, I was praying during the day that my worship and the worship there in Sturgis, that the brethren be worshiping God the same way. God want all his children to worship him that way in spirit and truth. I have another lesson tonight that I want to bring for you. It's going to come from the book of Hebrews. So if you have a Bible, let's go ahead and turn to the book of Hebrews. Appreciate the young man reading those scriptures for us. And we're going to turn there and we're going to study a lesson from Hebrews tonight. I believe that this is a book sometimes that you don't hear a lot of sermons from, and then again you do. I have a good series of tapes that I bought from some they gave them to me, some institutional brother, and gave me a bunch of tapes on the whole book of Hebrews, and they did a wonderful job on that lectureship. Now, our institutional brother may be off when it comes to the orphan home and supporting other things out of the Lord's treasury and things like that. But when they teach on the first principle, as far as when it comes to Christian living, they do an excellent job on it, sometimes better than some of my own brethren do, those who are faithful brethren. So they gave me a whole set of cassette tapes on Hebrews, and I tell you, those were some excellent lessons. I learned a lot of things from that book, from that lectureship that they had. But today, tonight, I'm just going to do a little lesson on how these members of the Lord's church forgot God. I believe sometimes that if we're not careful, we'll end up forgetting God the same way. So I believe that a study of this here tonight, coming from Hebrews chapter 2, so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Hebrews 2. The text that was read for the Bible reading is also going to fit the lesson tonight, but I want us to go ahead on and turn to the Hebrews chapter 2 now, and I want us to notice the first few verses of that chapter. Now, the book of Hebrews, of course, we know that the Apostle Paul, I believe that he is the writer of this book. But we need to know something about this book. Probably y'all don't have a good study of it before, and you can memorize some of the things that went along with that study with the book of Hebrews. But I just want to mention a few basic things about the book of Hebrews. I believe, again, like I said, that Paul is the writer of this book. And if he is, that's the 14th letter that he wrote. Now, sometimes some brothers say we can't prove it, but I just believe he is. The key word in the book of Hebrews is the word better. And the reason that he uses the word better so many times for these brethren that he sent this letter to was because of the superiority of Jesus Christ. Christ was superior over Moses. He was superior over the prophets. He was superior over the angels. And his new covenant, the New Testament, was superior over the Old Testament, which was the law of Moses. His priesthood was superior over that of the Levitical priesthood. This is just showing us that Christ brought so much that was so much better than that which was under the old law. The message that I find that the Hebrew book teaches is that this book really encourages Christians to be faithful. Some of these Christians were suffering from persecution and many other things, and some of them were on the verge of giving up on the Lord and quitting the church. So this letter was written to encourage these Christians to stay faithful and to remain faithful to God. It warns against apostasy. It encouraged these Christians to continue to be obedient to the faith, and it deals with the faith threatened, those who were being threatened daily, those who were ready to give up, those who were backsliding and turning back on the Lord. There are a lot of other things we can say that's wonderful about this book, but I just want to give you a few of the basic things tonight in order for us to better understand the subject that we're going to study. So if you have Hebrews chapter 2, let me just read these few verses. Notice he used the word therefore, which is a continuation. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. After talking about how Christ is superior over the angels, he said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? There's another text that I think is important dealing with a warning, and that's Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. If you notice 15, here's another warning. And he says in this text, which is the Old Testament quotation, he says, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, which means rebellion. They need to hear. They need to take heed of what God's word is saying. And I want you, brethren, to do the same thing tonight as we study this subject tonight, dealing with the Hebrew Christians, how they forgot. I think that these brethren did forget. Someone was drifting off into apostasy, or that is, they were apostatizing from the Lord. And we all know that we have brethren in the body of Christ today that do the same thing. We have it where I'm at, and I'm sure you have it here. No congregation on this earth is perfect. There's always some members who are not growing as they should, who are weak, who are not as strong as they should be, who miss the assembly, who don't pray to God as they should, who don't study their Bibles as they should, who don't grow as a Christian as they should. So we all have to watch out for this, because if we're not careful, we can do exactly what these some of these Hebrew brethren did, how the Hebrew Christians forgot. The first thing I want to mention here is, and this is, you can see it on the overhead, and I wrote this one with my hand, so my wife is not going to get any credit for this one. I did this with my hand, okay? And you brethren been getting on me about left-handed people. This writing is going to look pretty clear as far as I know. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's look at verse number 12. And most of us know this scripture. We can quote this scripture. But this is a warning to these brethren here. You know, Paul has spent some time in this 10th chapter telling them about their forefathers, how they were hard-headed, didn't want to listen, didn't want to be obedient, did things that were wrong in the sight of God, killed the prophets, and they did many things that were sinful in the sight of God. Now I want you to notice this here in verse 10. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. I do not, and I haven't been able to understand how anyone could read the word of God, the New Testament, and still say that a person can't lose their salvation. It is just ridiculous for a person to say that. But you know, when people, they're just so hard-hearted that they believe what they believe, and they just convince themselves that this is right. But I tell you what, my friends, it doesn't matter if they think it is or not. It's going to judge them in the last day. They're going to have to give account to God. Those who believe in once saved, always saved, you can't lose your salvation, nothing you can do to lose it, and they can sin like they want to sin. That's not what this text says. This scripture here makes it very plain that Paul was giving them a warning. And we're going to see this as we go through this lesson here tonight. Let's go to point number one of this lesson, dealing with how the Hebrews forgot. The first thing I want to mention here is that they failed to give heed to what they had been taught. Now, that's one of the things that leads a person to away from Christ, away from God, is when they fail to give heed to what has been taught in the scriptures. Now, I just mentioned Hebrews chapter 2 here. I've just read it, so I don't need to read it again. But he's giving them warning that they need to take heed to what they hear. Listen carefully what you hear. And this is one of the things that they fail to do. So we need to pay careful attention to what Christ has to say today. We have to pay attention to what he says. Careful attention. Willing to listen carefully at the things that are taught by Christ. In Matthew chapter 17 and verses, of course, we can look on the overhead, verse 5. You'll notice in this text here, Matthew 17 and 5, I want you to notice that, of course, on this transfiguration here, we find that there was Moses, Elias talking with Jesus. And you'll notice in verse number 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Well, when we open up the book of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 1, Paul repeats this by giving them the warning, saying that they need to heed what Christ has to say today. And that's what every Christian should do, is heed these things. Because 2 John 9 says, whosoever, and that goes for anybody, don't make no difference who we are. It tells us, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, have not God. So the way that we're going to please the Lord is by taking heed of what Christ has to say. And if we don't do it, we won't please the Lord. That's 2 John chapter, 2 John verse number 9 and 10 and 11. And you can read the other verses if you like. But they fail to give heed to what they have been taught. And we need to pay careful attention to what Christ has to say today. And I'm telling you, a lot of brethren in the body of Christ today don't do it. Now, I read some of these texts already, so, you know, we can look at them if you want to. You can read them or you can write them down. But I just want to mention just Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12, because I believe this is an important text to mention here concerning Paul writing to these men here, these brethren here. And this is Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Listen at verse 12 carefully. Now, they should have been getting strong in Christ Jesus and growing as they should. Notice, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. The key word is again. He says, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. These brothers should have been reaching on to more meaty things in the Word of God and growing in Christ Jesus. But the reason they were not doing it was because they were not doing what God's Word teaches. They were not paying attention, or they were not giving heed to what God's Word says. And that's why Paul wrote this in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. They should have been on meaty things. They should have been strong. They should have been mature Christians. You know what, brethren? We have a lot of immature Christians in the body of Christ. I was telling Arnold yesterday, and plus the other family, I just can't remember their last name. I was over their home yesterday, and I was telling them that you'll be surprised today how some of the things that some of the members of the Lord's church say. And they're just immature, and that's why they talk like that. They speak things, they say things they shouldn't say. They don't really care how they dress and how they act. That's because they're immature. There was a congregation in Mississippi, not going to mention the name. This congregation asked me and Roosevelt Johnson to come do a gospel meeting for them. I'm just showing you immaturity here. They asked us to come do a gospel meeting. It just so happened it was a white congregation. Now, if you don't believe that prejudice is all over the world, y'all will come to Mississippi. My wife was scared to move to Mississippi. She stayed in Texas, but she was scared to come to Mississippi. She thought they were still doing the Mississippi burning down there. I said, hey, they're not doing that anymore. I said, no one is swinging on trees anymore now. I was making fun of her, but she didn't take it that way. She was really scared. And anyway, when these brethren asked us to preach for them, a couple of those older members in the congregation, probably around 60 or around 60 and 70 years old, they said, and I'm going to tell you what they said, and you just listen, because this happens today. They said, we don't want those niggers coming here to this congregation here preaching, because they're going to ruin this congregation reputation. We don't want them in here. Now, this is supposed to be a faithful congregation that's against institutionalism. Well, they might be against that, but they are still some immature Christians, because I didn't get mad about it when they called and told me they didn't want us to come. I didn't get mad about it. All thing I said was that these are some immature Christians. If a brother and sister in Christ can't get along with another brother and sister in Christ, something is wrong somewhere. And that individual is not going to heaven either, because James says he's not going to heaven. He sins against God. He's a respecter of person, and he's going to be lost because of it. And when I was preaching a sermon in Texas, in Edna, Texas, one of those members that worship at that congregation just so happens to be in the audience. And I said the same words I just said a few minutes ago, and she knew, and it hit her because she was there. She knows. And she came up to me after service and apologized to me because, you know, they were wrong for doing that. You can't go to heaven thinking like that. Well, I'm just making a point. We have a lot of brethren like that who are immature in Christ. It can be prejudice. It can be anything. But we need to be matured in Christ. So when Paul wrote these brethren, they failed to give heed to what God's word has been put, because they failed to do what God had taught them to do through the scriptures. They didn't listen to what Christ had to say. They were, at least they weren't giving heed to what he said. And so when you look at Hebrews 5 and 12, it just says, Paul's saying, you ought to be teachers now, but you're immature. He even says in the next verse, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age. That's complete, or that's mature. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Some of you in here have little babies, no more than about a year old. And if you give that little, and I'm just not going to get real gross with this, but if you give that baby a knife, that baby would play with that knife and he'll probably cut himself and hurt himself. Why? Because that baby is immature. He don't know the difference between what that knife can do, how harmful it is, how it can hurt him. He just don't know any better. But if you give that knife to an older kid, like a 14-year-old or one that's a little more mature, they know they can't use, they know they need to put that down because that'll hurt them. They understand that. At one time, all of us were immature, but we're supposed to be reaching for maturity. These brethren here that Paul wrote were not reaching for maturity. They were giving up. Some of them were quitting the church, as he said in Hebrews 10:25. And so we sometimes don't have our senses exercised to discern what's good and what's bad. A baby can't discern what's good and what's bad. And believe it or not, some members of the Lord's church can't do it either. Anytime a member come up and ask a preacher, can I go to the dance club? That's an immature Christian. No, you don't go to a dance club when you're a Christian, when you're a lover of God, when you seek God's kingdom first, when you worship God in spirit and truth. Dancing is not part of worshiping God. And so when someone asks a question like that, that just shows you their immaturity. that just haven't learned yet, and they're going to have to learn quickly. But let me move on. I won't spend too much time on this. James chapter 1 and verse 21 tells us that we ought to give heed to what we hear, doesn't it? Because it tells us to be what? Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. We need to be doers rather than hearers. That lesson you heard this morning, we need to be doers of that lesson, not just a hearer only. And then in Matthew 7:21, Jesus Christ said, he said in that text, and I can quote that text, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter to the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." We have to do the will of God. That's why so many members of the Lord's church today are not faithful as they should be, because they're not giving heed to what the text says. So what's the first problem here? They fail to give heed to what they have been taught. And members of the church today do the same thing. And some don't last long in the church. They give up and quit. Here's another thing I think that we need to recognize here, and that's under number D. Notice it says, lest at any time we should let them slip. We have to give heed, or to get away from us if we're not careful. That's why we have to be reminded of everything. That's why Peter said, bring this to their remembrance. That's why he wrote that. Because we have to be reminded of these things. Because if we are not reminded, we'll give up on the Lord. We'll quit. We won't remain faithful. It'll happen. But what this suggests is the possibility that we could fall away. That's what that text is suggesting to us. Lest at any time we shall let them slip. That's a possibility of falling. And I can't understand how someone who believes in once saved, always saved can read this chapter and read the whole book of Hebrews, chapter 6 and chapter 10, and still say that, you know, we're once saved, always saved. Notice this. This epistle was written to give such a warning, and in many ways it teaches that one can fall from grace. It's teaching us that again. He gives another warning in Hebrews chapter 3. Let's just look at it right quick. It's just only one text I want to mention. But he gives another warning to these brethren here in Hebrews chapter 3. Just verse number 12. You'll see he uses the word take heed. Notice verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart or unbelief. And watch this. In departing from the living God. But exalt one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Here's what we learn from here. This epistle here is warning these brethren about it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you shall seem to, watch this, seem to what? Come short of it. That shows that we can fall if we're not careful. Then, of course, Hebrews chapter 6, which is another wonderful text, and I'm going to go to point 2 after this, but look at Hebrews chapter 6. I'm just showing you some text to show you how Paul was warning these brethren that how some of them were getting ready to depart and some of them had already done it. He said, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again, there's that key again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put them to an open shame. There's another warning. So I think we got point one under, pretty much under. We understand what it's saying pretty much. I think I showed enough information to show us that. And then I just asked the question, what about us? Do we sometimes do the same thing that these brethren were doing? Do we do it? What about us? Have we already done it? Are we on the verge of doing it? Sermons, Bible classes, they are made to edify us, to make us stronger. That class this morning that was taught by Brother Hayfield, that was a good Bible class. The singing tonight that the young man did on the singing, that's man, and the prayer, all these things are made to edify us. These scriptures teach that this imperative of doing what God here says, lest we let them slip away. Now, the devil can have a tendency to do that if we're not careful. So we need to understand that these scriptures teach the imperative of doing what we hear. Lest the devil take the word out of your heart. Now the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, 8 and verse 12 that this can happen. If you don't take heed to it, it's going to slip away. So let's go to the next point of this lesson, dealing with how they forgot. We're just looking at the Hebrew brethren as a good example of how we need to be careful not to do what they did. And hopefully this will help us to remain faithful to God and continue to seek his kingdom first. Let's look at something else. Here's point number two. They did not grow spiritually. That's another thing that showed how they forgot God. It did not grow spiritually. And if we don't grow spiritually, sooner or later we're going to die. Spiritually, we'll die. You might be alive physically, but spiritually we'll be dead. And it's possible to be alive and spiritually dead at the same time. 1 Timothy 5 and 6 makes that very plain. Yes, you could be alive and spiritually dead at the same time. You can even take the Lord's Supper and your mind be somewhere else, and you're not worshiping God in spirit and truth. We talked about that this morning. See, that can happen. We have to be careful about these things. But anyway, let's look at, I read these texts already, but I just want to read one or two of them. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5 again. And Paul just said that these brethren here, he had a lot of things he wanted to say to them, but he said they were dull of hearing. You know, and that's just how it is today. He said that they were dull of hearing. He talks about for when the time they should have been teachers, they have need that someone teach them again. And I read these texts already, but they did not grow spiritually. Look at chapter 6, where it says, therefore, and this is continuation from chapter 5, by the way. He's continuing what he was saying. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Every Christian should seek that. Every Christian should strive for it. Paul talked about it in Philippians 3. We should strive for that perfection. I'm not a perfect person. You're not either. If you do believe I'm perfect, you ought to ask my wife. She'll tell you right away. No, I'm not perfect, but I'm trying my best to work towards perfection. We're going to do things wrong. We're going to make some mistakes. We're going to do things that we're going to regret in life as Christians. But what we must do is keep on moving on. And these young people in here need to know that, because these young people are put under pressure daily by being in school. And I'm going to talk about that tomorrow, so I'm not going to get in that too deep right now, because that's a lesson I'm going to teach tomorrow. I'm going to talk about the lost Christ tomorrow. But I'm not going to mention that too much of that now. But these young people need to be built up and encouraged as young people in Christ Jesus. You older brethren and sisters need to encourage them. Keep them going straight, because they need it. They're under a lot of pressure today from school and rid of a lot of things as being teenagers. But let us not forget that these brethren didn't grow spiritually, and it simply was that they didn't reach towards perfection. He says, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Yeah, they should have been known better. They should have been going on leaving these things. Do you know, brethren, would you believe this? That there are some brethren in the body of Christ who have been in the church, I'm not going to say 20 and 30 years, I'm just going to say 5 years. If you ask them what the plan of salvation is, they have to scratch their head and they have to think about it for a while before they can tell you. What's the plan of salvation? Well, I believe you're supposed to hear, repent. They just don't know. And they've been in the church 5 years, haven't matured in Christ Jesus yet. That's a shame. And some older members been in the church a long time. They don't know anything about the first principles. You can't reach towards perfection like that, brethren. We got to move on to meaty things in the Word of God. We have to go on to maturity and grow in Christ. So these here, brethren, here didn't grow spiritually. Now, that hurts. Notice number A here. Well, I'll go ahead and show this whole one here. Notice number A. Everything I write is capitalized. I never use little letters. So y'all have to overlook that. There is nothing more discouraging to a farmer than to see his new crop that he has planted stop growing, for he knows that a new tender plant must grow in order to survive. And the same is true with God when it comes to us Christians. Every Christian should grow in Christ Jesus. Every one of us should. In John chapter 15, this is a wonderful text to use for this. John chapter 15, I'm just going to read a few of the verses there, but I want you to look at this. Every Christian must be fruitful, must produce some kind of fruit if they expect to please the Lord. That's why this once saved, always saved is nothing but false doctrine. We must continue to keep producing if we expect to please the Lord. If we stop, look out. Now, in John chapter 15, looking just at these first few verses of this chapter here, you'll notice that it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that, watch this, beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Every Christian must be fruitful. Now, notice he goes on to say that this person must abide in him. Abide in me, verse 4, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. All of us understand that. No more can ye except ye abide in me. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Notice that, much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so ye shall be my disciples. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue my love. Now, verse 10 says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. Now, the point I'm making on this is this. We understand when a farmer plants something, he wants it to grow. He must tend the ground in order for it to grow. He must do this. It's the same with a Christian. The word of God assures us that one must grow or die. You're either going to grow or you're going to die. It's one of the two. You're going to die spiritually if you don't grow. I'm not talking about physically. You'll die spiritually if you don't grow. It's one or the other. You can't have both of them. We can't have both ways. We have to do something. Look at Ephesians 5 and 17. This is one of my favorite scriptures. All of them are favorite to me, but this is one I use a lot. Ephesians 5, 17. Paul says in this text, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, they did not grow spiritually. Why? Because they weren't seeking to do God's will. And if you don't seek to do God's will and do it, you're not going to grow as a Christian. 1 Peter 2:2 tells us to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You have to desire it in order to grow. You have to desire. Some of these brethren that Paul wrote this letter to were not doing that. They were ready to leave. In 2 Peter, and some of them had already done it. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 through 11, I'm not going to read those texts there, but what it's talking about is adding the Christian graces. See, these things are happy to grow. Now, there's a key thing I want you to notice about this text, so I'm going to turn that right quick and show you something. It's a key verse there I think we need to recognize in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to show you a verse. Now, in this text here, he tells us to add all these virtues, these wonderful things to our life. And he tells us that if you do this, you won't fall. You can remain faithful. Now watch verse number 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Watch this. For if these things, what these things? It's referring to these graces he just mentioned up here earlier. He said, for if these things be in you, they have to be in us, brethren. We have to do them. And abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. He's not saying once saved, always saved. He's just saying if you remain faithful and do these things, you can be saved. We can make heaven our home one day. But these brethren that Paul wrote to, they did not grow spiritually. And the reason they didn't grow is simply because of what we just talked about. They weren't adding these graces to their lives. They weren't seeking God's kingdom first. And you'll notice under number B here, the Hebrew brethren lost that self-motivating factor to grow. An unquenchable thirst for God's righteousness. They lost it. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6, it's, of course, Jesus talking on the Sermon on the Mount here. It's called the Sermon on the Mount because he taught a great multitude of people that day. And it lasts for a few chapters, but I want you to notice chapter 5 and verse number 6. And here's what it says. It says, blessed, verse number 6 of this text says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I preached a whole series of sermons on this chapter here. I did about 5 sermons, I believe, on this, or 7 of them, I think. And I wanted those brethren there at Sturgeon to understand that these are wonderful things that God wants us to do. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. I mean, they are desiring it. They want it. You know, I have a hunger and desire for apple pie, fried chicken, things I shouldn't be eating because all it do is make me a fat man, but I like it. I have a desire for that. I'm hungry after that. I'd rather do that than hunger after money and do anything to get money. But let us get back to what Jesus is saying here. You see, we have to have this kind of attitude, unquenchable thirst for God's righteousness. You see, we have an unquenchable thirst for food, water, and sleep. You know, they have on the news now, they were talking on the news the other day, the reason many people get killed in America now is because they don't get enough rest. My wife always tell me, Alexander, you need to get more rest. You don't get enough sleep. Sometimes I stay up studying my Bible and writing up sermons and getting ready for the radio broadcast, and I stay up all night sometimes, don't get any rest. Probably about 2 hours of sleep, you know, 7 days a week, I'll probably get, probably won't average no more than about 15 hours of sleep. My wife said, you're not going to make it like that. You keep doing that. And so now I'm changing a little bit. I'm learning now to go to bed early. And I have to because, I mean, if you don't get proper rest, you can have all kind of accidents. Anything can happen to you. And so your health can go bad over that too, and that's what they were talking about in the news. But we understand that these are vital things that we need. You must have food and water and sleep. To hunger and thirst after righteousness means to be eager to learn what constitutes a righteous life. I mean, you want to learn what God wants you to do. You're hungering and thirsting for it. As a matter of fact, all of you here will be here this whole week for this gospel meeting so you can hunger and thirst after God's righteousness daily. And not only just for this meeting and the Bible classes and the sermons that Brother Hafley preached and these other young men preached, but you'll study the Bible daily so that you'll learn God's will. Must have a hunger and thirst for this. But these brethren that Paul is writing to, they didn't have this. And that's why some of them had problems. Let me just show you the rest of this here. Then I'll go to the next point. Notice some reasons here. Let's look at some reasons why some suffer spiritual stagnation. One is dull of hearing. They were dull of hearing. Same thing Jesus said in Matthew 13 about those scribes and Pharisees. Same thing. John 5:39 tells us that we should search the scriptures. That's what we ought to do. Search the scriptures so that we can learn of God and so that we'll learn what his commands are and what his will is for us to learn. Well, I mean, we need to search the scriptures. These people that Jesus was talking to, they weren't doing that. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me. Those pronouns, they are they. It's referring to this Old Testament scriptures. It's referring to the word of God. So the reason why some of these people suffer was because of they were dull of hearing. They were unskillful in the word of righteousness. Hebrews chapter 5 makes that very plain. These brethren here at Berea, that when Paul came to this place where these brethren were, these brethren had a different attitude towards the word of God. You know what Acts 17:11 said? These were more noble than those at Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. We need brethren doing that today. Searching the scriptures, searching to learn God's righteousness so that we won't be stagnant like some of these brethren are today. Minds are not to exercise. You know, minds are not exercised to discern both good and evil. When you have a mind that's not exercised to learn what's good and evil, you end up doing a lot of things that's wrong in the sight of God, such as immodest dress. Some brethren, they will argue and tell you, well, how short do they have to be? Do they have to be down here or up here? How short? Well, that's a brother, that's an immature Christian. I will do everything I can so I won't give the people of the world any ammunition to use against me as a Christian. Why not suffer to do the will of God? Some brethren like to make arguments. They try to justify things. They make any kind of argument they can get. Why can't I go swimming in mixed bathing? Why can't I do it? I ought to be able to go out there. I'm not lusting at them in the first place. Well, you may not be doing it, but it's our example that we need to be watching. Some brethren, they don't see that and think there's nothing wrong with that. So minds are not exercised to discern both good and evil. That's the next problem that they had. These are reasons why they suffer spiritual stagnation, because they were weak on these things. 2 Peter 2:20 talks about how those brethren that Peter wrote, some of them had already drifted away. I mean, I like the reading of that text because it's a wonderful scripture, but he's just talking about how some of them turned back, and it's a terrible thing when you turn back on the Lord. It's terrible. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 says this. I'll read it since I'm already here. It says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, how did they escape the pollutions of the world? It says right here, through the knowledge. That's how you do it. Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled. There's that word again. They are again entangled therein and overcome. Their latter end is worse with them than the beginning. These brethren would drift away from the Lord. So this lesson that we're looking at, how these Hebrew brethren forgot. Well, they did. They drifted away from the Lord. And that's why Paul wrote this letter, to encourage them. Let's go to point three, and then I have just only one more point to go after this. And this lesson will be yours tonight. Let's look at the next thing here, dealing with this subject. I want to mention Emma D before I move on to the next point, which is point three. Let me mention Emma D here. I think this is good to look at. Peter gives the most complete list of things that must be added to our lives as we grow. And we just read them, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 11. If you do these things, they will be complete, mature. They can make heaven their home. Now, I put this up here for a reason. Now, see, babies can't discriminate against anything. But believe it or not, some members of the Lord's church can't do it either. Can't do it. And the reason they can't do it is because they haven't taught their conscience God's word. Once you teach your conscience God's word and get it in there, get it in that computer, I'm going to let you know. It'll let you know when you're doing something wrong right away. It will. If you just teach yourself God's word and or study and grow as a Christian, you'll be reminded of these things. A baby can't discriminate, but then we have some babies in the body of Christ who can't discriminate either. And I just mentioned that earlier. Now, let's go to point three of this lesson. Here's another thing they did, too. They were forsaking the assembly. That's another thing they did. I'm going to show you all of this here. Put that up here right quick. Show you all of this. A, B, down here. Look at that. They were forsaking the assembly. Hebrews 10, 25. They failed to do what the Jerusalem church had done in Acts chapter 2 in verse 42. If you don't know what that text is saying, let's turn to Acts 2, 42, and let's see what these brethren did in Acts 2. This, of course, happened after the church was established on the day of Pentecost. And these brethren here were a lot different than brethren today. And you'll notice what Acts 2:42 says. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Well, we don't have many doing that today. And fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, in order for them to do this, they had to come together. And so they came together as a church to worship God. Notice this here. This is what the NIV, which I don't use much. I mean, NIV, I don't use it that much, but I just want to use it this time. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, that's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, in case you were wondering what it was. It's Hebrews 10, 25. Now, it just says it a little different, but I wrote it here because, you know, it does open it up a little bit more. Let me read it one more time. We'll move on to the next thing. Let us not give up meeting together, but some of them had already done it, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. NIV translation. The first Christians met weekly and often daily. That's what they did. We all know it because we can read the book of Acts and see that. Don't you know it's hard to get some brother to come back to service? Really hard to get them to do it. You almost have to put a stick and a piece of bread in front of them to get them here. Pretty bad, but that's how bad it's getting. So what about giving, singing, teaching, the Lord's Supper, etc.? If you don't come to church, how can you worship God in spirit and truth? You can't do it if you don't come to the assembly. Can't do it. Can't do it. So we need to understand from looking at this example right here from what we read in Hebrews 25, they were forsaking the assembly. Many do it today. Let me show you something that I brought with me. I just hope I don't have a hard time finding it like I did today. I tried to set it up a little better tonight so I don't have to be scrambling to find anything tonight. And I think I'm going to have to do it again. I don't have it. Well, tomorrow I'll do better. Tomorrow I'm going to type it on my back so I know where it is. I'll just reach back there and put it off because I can't remember. It's a good chart, too, I want to show y'all, but that's okay, though. Let's go ahead on and move on in the lesson here. Now, John 4:24, I talked about that this morning. Now, James 4:17 say, he that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. Brethren, if we know to do better, we ought to do better. We ought to grow in, as Christians in Christ Jesus. God want all of us to grow in Christ Jesus. And so we all need to grow and get strong in the body of Christ. Let me show you something else here on this third point here, and I'll just show you all of this here. Then we'll go to the next one here. Notice here reasons why we should go to every church service. There are some reasons I want to mention why we should do it. These are not all the reasons. These are just a few of them. But they do mean a lot. First of all, Jesus is there. Every time we come together. Matthew 18:20, when two or three are gathered in my name, they are mine in the midst. I know he said it to the disciples, but he's talking to us too as Christians. I'm made stronger. Every time I come to church, I'm made stronger. That means when you stay home, you're not made stronger. No one can do this by themselves. We need each other as Christians to be able to do it. Look at Ephesians 5, 17 right quick. Just notice what Paul said in that text. Ephesians chapter 5, and looking at verse number 27, excuse me, not 17, but 27. Ephesians chapter 5. I just want to read this for us here. Paul says that he might present it. He's talking about the church here. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be what? Holy and without blemish. This church here needs to be holy and without blemish, spotless, and the members need to work together. Hebrews 3:12, some of them were departing into unbelief, and Paul was warning them there. The next thing is that God wants us to grow. He wants us to come to service so we can grow and edify one another. 1 Peter 3:15, the church is the pillar and ground of truth. He wants us to grow in Christ Jesus. The next is to set a good example. Well, you set a good example when you come. And then some don't set a good example, but when you come to service, other people are watching. I mean, this encourages everybody. Another is to obey God. Hebrews 10:25 said, don't forsake the assembly. So when one does it, he's not obeying God. And to put first thing first. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, you know, in Matthew chapter 16, he used kingdom and church interchangeably. So if you look at it that way, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom. God's kingdom should always be seeked first before beyond anything else. Every Christian should do this. And then if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what good is it? Not good at all. So we're just looking at some things these Hebrew brethren did. And here are the last 2 points, and this is the last chart I'm going to show here tonight. And I hope I said some things that can help us to grow in Christ Jesus and to understand that we don't need to do this. Because sometimes you'll be surprised how a lot of members of the church are drifting off from the Lord. And it's not something that happened real quickly. It happens slowly. So we need to be careful. Let's look at number 4 now. Here's another thing to show how they forgot. They were warned of the danger. Listen to this. They were warned of the danger of falling away after having been blessed by God. They were blessed. Multiple blessings came from God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. I know I read some of this earlier, but I didn't read these few verses. So let me just read them since they're part of the lesson. Hebrews chapter 6. And I want us to notice these verse number 4 through 6. Here's another thing they did to show that they forgot. In Hebrews chapter 6 and looking at verse 4, it says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again. I love that word again. Again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. Well, let me just mention to you a few things about this text here. One of the things I want to mention, I'll just show all of them to you here. That helps me get through the point quicker. One thing I want to mention is these. Listen, look at this. Being once enlightened. Oh, when you become a Christian, brother, and we are once enlightened, when we learn the will of God and taste of what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, having our sins remitted, being a child of God. These brethren were once enlightened here. And let me get, I need this Bible here because this is the Bible I use when I preach, but I'm breaking a new one in. And I'm keeping it right up here. But let me read this here from this Bible because, you know, we all got Bibles that we write notes in. And in this text right here in Hebrews chapter 6 and looking at this verse here, I think I had something I wanted to mention here concerning these four verses here, how that they were once enlightened. Well, it doesn't really matter anyway because when I get through with this here, we always see it anyway. Listen to this. Having tasted a heavenly gift. Well, a non-Christian can't do that. He'll never be able to do this. This is only for those who are members of the church. They know what it's like. They know, they understand being a Christian, what it means and what it's all about. Having tasted a heavenly gift. Being partakers of the Holy Spirit. Having tasted the word of God. Having received the powers of the world to come. Now, these are wonderful blessings that Christians receive when they obey the gospel. But these brethren that Paul wrote, they didn't realize this. Some of them were departing from the Lord because of persecution and suffering and whatever else they were going through. They were departing from the Lord. And I'm telling you, some members of the church today, if we don't realize these wonderful blessings that he's talking about here, we will do it too. We need to thank God for all these wonderful things he's given us here in this text here. So they see, they were warned of the dangers of falling away after having been blessed by these wonderful things. And still, they departed from God. Notice, some of them did. Notice, these people under consideration had once, listen to this, had once been saved. That's why I say I can't see how someone read the book of Hebrews. I don't talk, matter what, don't care what he is. He can be a Baptist or any kind of denomination, whatever he wants to be. I just don't understand how they can read these and neglect this, skip this, read over this, and can't see that God's word make it too plain. Now let's look at the last point of the lesson here tonight. And here's the last point. God's discipline. No, he disciplined the children he loved. Tell me, well, my mother have killed us on the New Testament. It didn't make no difference. I mean, they just didn't play back then. You know, you got we were some hard-headed children, so we deserve every whooping we got, every one of them. You wouldn't say it at the time, but when you got older, you did. But just listen to this. He disciplines those children that he loved. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. This is the last point in the way we can read this. Hebrews chapter 5. I know I read verses 12 all the way to the end, but this time we want to look at Hebrews 5 and just read a few earlier verses. Let's look at verse 5. It says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. And I'm reading from the right text here. Well, let me see if this is, I know I'm reading something wrong. I know something wrong. You just give me a few seconds. I catch it. I knew something was wrong. Look at verse 5. Chapter 12, verse 5, excuse me. And ye have forgotten the exaltation which speaketh unto you unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know, the government now is getting in our business. Now they're jumping in our business so bad now, you can't even spank your own children now. I remember when we used to be in the grocery store, you know how children are, they see cookies, they be reaching up, grabbing them off the shelf. Boy, you talking about somebody getting popped. When I used to do that, mother said, she didn't hit us on our hands. She hit us in the head and my back. Anywhere she could hit us at. And I mean, it didn't feel good either. But and the people looked at him and said, he deserved that. And watching what they do today. You hit a child like that today, first thing they do, somebody going to look and see it and go call the police. Police come out there and get the mother and come out there and embarrass them at their home and then probably take them down to jail and question them about it. Isn't that something? Can't even whoop your own children. I tell you what, when we have some, we're going to whoop them. Now, I'm not saying whoop them, just whoop them for no reason. But you should discipline your children. You should discipline them. There's nothing wrong with disciplining them. The first thing I tell them is that the Bible says I can do it. And I'm going to do it. I know I want whooping like we got whooping, so, but they need to be disciplined. And so the Lord loves us. And if he loves us, he's going to discipline us. You better believe he will. And it comes in all kinds of manners and all kinds of ways. But he does it. Let's look at Revelation 3:19. Let's see what John says concerning this. Revelation chapter 3:19. But see, these people were, God disciplined each other, but some of them didn't want this discipline. Some of them just didn't turn. And I hope that's not the case with us. Now, this is a church at Laodicea here. And in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 19, the Bible says, of course, these people here thought they were doing good because they were in this city of Laodicea where they had, where they would make Isaiah, which was a rich community. This place was rich, loaded with money. I mean, it was loaded. And, you know, these people were rich probably, thought they didn't need nothing. It was a retirement resort for people back then. I mean, when they retire, they go right to this place in Laodicea. That's where they went at. I learned that from just reading on some history on this. Notice it says in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. See, we need to repent and turn if we're doing something against the word of God. See, God loves us. He wants us to repent. He don't want us to die in our sins. He wants us to repent. Now, I'm just going to read one or two of these Old Testament scriptures so I can go ahead on and close it on out here. But let's turn to the book of Proverbs, and let's just read a couple of these texts. I want to read 22:15 first. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 15. And notice what this text says here. And it, you know what? This is true. If you look at this here, Solomon was a wise man. He was really wise when you think about it. Look at verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That's true, isn't it? Those who have children, you know he's telling the truth. Watch what he says. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. We're foolish too. But that rod so drove it away from us. I know it did. Notice chapter 23 and verse 13. I'm just looking at a few texts here. This is just give you information, just scriptures you can read on your own, just to know that God's word teaches that you can go ahead on and spank your children. Proverbs 23 and 13 says this. It says, withhold not correction from the child, and if thou beateth him with the rod, he shall not die. We almost did. You're not supposed to whip a child that they have whips all over their back. You see, I was going to try to show you a extension cord. You know what extension cord is, don't you? Kind of stick in the socket. We didn't get whipping with belts. We got whipping with extension cords, the ones that you stick in the socket. My daddy had one that hangs on the wall. It's about this long, but he took it and he doubled it till it was about this short. And he was a strong man. And boy, I'm pretty big, but he wasn't big as I am, but he was pretty big. And he used to grab us by our arms and pick us up. And we'd just be kicking in the air. And boy, all he saw was just bag and legs. I mean, sometimes he went too far. I believe they would have been thrown in jail now if they saw what they did to us back then. But it did discipline us, and that's they were chasing us, I guess, because they love us. But God does it too. He does it because he loves us. I can't correct my child. I love them too much. But I believe this is a foolish statement for that parents make to their children. I can't correct them because I love them too much. So you know what they tell them to do? John, didn't I tell you to wash the dishes? Yes. Why didn't you wash them? I don't want to. Why didn't you clean the room? I don't want to. Get up in your room then. John goes up in the room. She thinks she's punishing him. I got him now. I got him up there where he ain't going to come out. She thinks he got him punished. You know what John got in his room? He has a computer. He has a little refrigerator full of food. He has all kinds of things in there, games and everything. She ain't punishing him. Parents need to know how to discipline their children. That's not discipline there. Matter of fact, that's a little vacation for him, matter of fact. We need to know what the Bible says. Because we are his children, God does us the same way. He disciplines us for our good, but not pleasant for the moment, which is not. It never is. But God does discipline. Sometimes it comes right through a brother or sister you're talking to. God does it, though. He works it out his own way. So proper reaction to chastening brings good result. When we do it properly, then it brings good result. So I hope tonight, and I know I could have mentioned a little more, but I didn't want to hold y'all up too long on the time. But I hope that we did pick up something from this study of Hebrews tonight that shows us why these brethren, some of them departed from the Lord. And as I mentioned in this lesson, members of the Lord's church today do the same thing. They depart from God today. Let me just mention these points one more time so they'll stay in your heart tonight. They fail to give heed to what they have been taught. Don't ever do that, brethren. Take heed to what God's word says. These brethren didn't do it, and this calls for them to forget God. They just departed from him. They did not grow spiritually as God wanted them to grow. Every Christian here tonight should grow spiritually as he studies God's word daily. Number three, they were forsaking the assembly, so they couldn't be taught anything. They were missing the assembly, and some of them had already departed. Number four, they were warned of the dangers of falling away after having been blessed by these wonderful blessings of God. And then number five, God disciplines his children. And the reason he does it is because he loves us, he cares about us, and he wants us to be saved. He don't want anyone lost. He wants us to be saved. If you're here tonight and you're a member of the Lord's church and you haven't been doing this, or you find yourself drifting away, that is, when you come to service, you're not even interested in Bible study anymore. You're not even interested in a wonderful prayer that a brother prayed. You just could care less about that prayer. All you want to do is just leave the building. I'm ready to go home. I got things to do. I need to get some rest for work. Brethren, if you're not careful, you're going to depart from God. If you don't give as you should, if you don't study, if you don't try to teach other people the truth, these are ways of showing that you're really drifting away from God. And you need to come back to God. He wants you to come back to him. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to grow. I tell you what, no matter how bad we treat God, he still loves us. Isn't that something? No matter how bad we treat him, how bad we do things wrong in his sight and may hurt him, but I tell you what, the angels in heaven rejoice every time we turn and repent. And that's what we need to do, brethren. So I'm going to ask you tonight to please think about it, consider it, what God's word says in Hebrews. On the book of Hebrews, we looked at some of these things. And if you're not a member of the Lord's church and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, then I'll show the same chart that I showed this morning, same thing teaching us what the plan of salvation is, very simple and plain. If a person wants to be saved, he must realize that he's separated from God because of his sins. He don't have any hope. He's without. He's a sinner. He's lost outside of Christ. In order to get in Christ, you know, every one of you that came in this building tonight, you came through one of these doors to get in. If you didn't come in through those doors, I'd like to find out how you got in here. You sure didn't come through the ceiling. You had to take some steps to get in this building. And it takes something to get in Christ. You must hear the gospel. You must be willing to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then you must be willing to repent. After you hear God's word, let it prick your heart so much that it causes you to repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be immersed and be baptized in water for remission of sins. Baptism saves us. The old denominational people tell us baptism ain't nothing but an outward show of an inward grace. That's not what God's word says. It says baptism does also now save us. 1 Peter 3:21. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Of course, you have to repent and confess and do the other steps, but it will do it, and I believe it. Well, we're going to go ahead on and stand now and sing the invitation song, and if you need to respond to this gospel call, please do it. Bill, go ahead on saying that. From